them.
Áslaug Magnúsdóttir. Very excited for, I'm also like come from the more the electroacoustic compositional world rather than movement or performance. But now I'm seeing myself more as a instrumentalist and clarinet player, which is really fun. So I'm trying to step away from the computer. That's my biggest challenge for this week, and I'm very excited.
Okay, that's cool.
Goal.
Okay, I had an opportunity to listen to Woodwind Quintet, your collaboration album you made in 2022, and I love this, to be honest, this experimental slash classical approach, and when several different worlds collide in one place, because it's always ends up like interesting. But the question was, when there is the moment of choreography also in this kind of approach, it's really interesting because this music is not as they call dance music. So, you know, because sometimes the dance and the connection between dance and electronic music is perceived differently and very, you know, straightforward. So in this sense, when the music itself is so authentic, so experimental, so you know, more based on more textures and feelings rather than just 4-4 riffs and everything, that makes it more, you know, complicated or hard to make such performative or make it like choreographically supported in this sense, because you are working all together in the studio and it seems like you need to, you know, find the perfect match of body language and the language of music sometimes. So my question is, where is this meeting point of body language and music language in this kind of music world?
Yeah, good question. That's like one of the things we've definitely been exploring with this project, and we've been really focusing on blurring the roles that we each play. And it's already quite it lends itself to that, as Olivia being like the dancer choreography in the traditional sense, but she's working with this embodied voice, this embodied sound, and there's a lot of sound coming from her through her movements and her voice and her interactions with the space. And then with Ausla going towards instrumentalist rather than just sitting on the computer like a little like laptop noise set, we're kind of taking, and me as well, I'm playing live harp in this piece, and so we're kind of taking this chance to kind of meet in the middle, see what that means for us, that when Auslaug and I are playing our instruments, taking it as a performative element, not just fulfilling a musical role, but letting that blend into what the movement is in this piece. And then Olivia's bringing a lot of this choreography concept, but then also acting very much as an equal sound source. So I think we're seeing all of us as we can, as kind of moving back and forth between sound creators, movers,
yeah.
We're all and we're exploring fragmentation, and as in the album, it's very fragmented, it's very kind of taking unexpected elements and putting them together and seeing how they come in and out of conversation with each other. And we're taking those kind of fundamental concepts of what Auslaug and I have been doing for a long time and then bringing this new ingredient of the space and the movement and the way that we can bring that sense of fragmentation and combination and unexpected transitions into the way we interact with each other, with the space, with the sound, and what is movement, what is performance, what's the music, what is the dance. Do you want to say things? I'm saying.
So I would like to listen to Olivia's approach as well as a choreographer. Did you have an experience on working projects like these before, or it was something?
I mean, the
the context of a week and not meeting each other before and being very much like starting together, this I haven't, and like creating like somewhat non-hierarchically, this I haven't experienced before. I have worked with musicians, but then I guess I would have, I guess I would say I would then micromanage quite a lot, but and really being clear with that also. But I think so. I was very excited to not do this in this project, to lose a bit of control also. But I guess when I heard their album before, I got very excited, and I saw already that we had a lot in common in our ways of dealing with material, how they speak to each other in, yeah, in a more fragmented way. So I was, for me, actually, this fragmentation that you set up as a possible obstacle, for me, it was really an opening to be able to work choreographically, like in an interesting way, I think, with both of them. So I think we had quite a lot in common before we realized, and also I realized already when like getting to know you a bit online. But yeah, so I would say like I would say choreographically, I'm thinking quite similar to how they deal with composition. So yeah.
Okay. Thanks. You mentioned this fragmentation and the construction of forms and creating something new, but also I feel like based on the previous releases that you artistically are expressing an interest in imbuing your releases with these narrative elements as well, because it kind of tells a story as well, despite this fragmentation, because it always carries certain feelings and the backgrounds around. So I would like to ask, how do you weave storytelling into your music as well? And what are the common themes or narratives can listeners expect to encounter in this project as well? What was the non-music ideas behind it to elaborate it more? Because Olivia told us a little bit about embodying sound and voice, and maybe this background story is where did you start? What was the starting point of this project? Who kind of took the very first step, and how you as a trio has became a team working on this project?
Yeah, there's a few questions in that, and kind of the process of coming to working together, and then there's also the kind of narrative or emotional themes of the project. And I guess it's a there is a tie between them in that this project came about because I'm on the Shape platform this year, so I was offered this residency at Inconst in preparation for premiering this piece at Intonal in April. And so then that was kind of the starting point. Was I was having conversations with the team at Intonal and Inconst about who to work with and what the project could be, what the resources of the space and the festival are. And part of the agreement with this kind of residency structure is that you work with two local artists. And now, as Aslaug and I have been working together for years already, and we're in Malmo right now, and she lives in Copenhagen. I was like very obvious, like, ah, yeah, this is who I want to work with musically. And then it came in of, you know, what thinking about the topics and the expression we want to take. And then it was this quest of like, okay, I know I want to work with a dancer, and kind of figuring out, but I didn't know anyone. So the internal team helped me kind of, I told them, you know, the ideas, what I was looking for, and then they recommended Olivia to me. And it's as she was saying earlier, like, though we come from quite different backgrounds, and this is a kind of new format of working, I think for all of us, it's, you know, we have all done similar things, but this exact construction is quite new. And it's been really special that we do, in like the construction of narrative and emotional expression, though we come from different backgrounds, we have a lot in common about the way we think about it and the way that we work towards that. And so also, as it kind of, I was kind of having these conversations for a while before the other two were brought in. I think I kind of set the seed of the, you know, what is going to be the topic of this performance. And so I came in saying, you know, I want to make a piece about heartbreak and irrational obsession and love and yearning. And then as we've been working together and developing these ideas, it's grown into something that's, you know, not just about like me and my ex, but something much more like a shared expression on kind of building from these topics. We've gotten very much to thinking about togetherness and separateness, being alone, being in conversation, being in phase, falling out of phase. So the piece is coming to be, you know, quite with this, I think there's a strong theme of yearning, and there's questions of alienation. But then as we've been talking also a lot about the way that, you know, when you think really strongly about yearning, there's something that inherently brings up the opposite of tenderness and closeness. And so it's about, in the kind of nature of fragmentation, it's about kind of hard cuts between being really in sync, being really together, and then being really alone, and how those can be in conversation with each other. And in terms of like quite direct narrative, I recently read Beowulf and was really inspired by this one line in Hrothgar's sermon to Beowulf after the slaying of Grendel, where he's talking about, sorry, I'm nerd alert. He is saying like, okay, you know, you just had this major success. I've been successful too, but don't get too comfortable. Don't get lost in your ego. And he has this line of what I, you know, he had won all the wars. He got back home, and then he had what he calls a hard reversal from bliss to grief. Because, you know, this monster came and was eating all his villagers.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, abstracting that a bit, I found this line, the hard reversal from bliss to grief, really what I wanted to talk about, also in the conversation of love, that when you're really obsessed with someone, or about any time you're in this kind of really activated state, this like bliss and grief, the extremes of emotion, become very near each other and almost the same. So I've kind of had that, and the old English for that is gieren efter gomene, which I think is also beautiful. So we're kind of starting from this gieren gomene dichotomy, and then moving towards like the way that we share space and move together or move apart, and what is it to be listening, what is it to be responding, quite abstracted.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I would like to hear if the rest of you have your when you joined this project, what was the very first impression and the point where you realized that, yeah, that's for me, that's something for me, I want to elaborate, I want to put my own artistic layer on this project, when Bridget kind of set up this everything all together.
I mean, I have had practices, like, I mean, everything that Bridges is talking about is quite relational, and for me, like, often in my work, I work a lot with relation, like, and it can be in quite abstracted forms, but my last project together with Lisa Posette was really about resonance, and what that is in terms of like both like as an acoustic phenomenon, but also as like relationship and affect, and really looking at like that, how those like relationships can appear, how they manifest in our bodies, how they affect us, how they like this type of longings or yearnings for like real resonance or whatever that means, and then that flip side of alienation that also is like what resonance could be, like an antidote against, but at the same time it kind of has alienation as like a close friend, so, but yeah, or enemy, I don't know what, but so I guess these ideas that Bridget posed, I already have a few practices that I wanted to explore together with them and get affected together with them. And that has really happened already this week. So I'm quite excited to see, yeah, how this creature is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Should I go or should you? Yeah, I'm just thinking about my answer. I think I'm also very interested in, instead of like movement and sound being next to each other, or being like now you dance to a sound, or sound is to a movement, it's rather like stacked, so it becomes like vertical. So there's like many things that can happen in this box that we create at the same time, and like we say, sometimes they're in relation to each other and sometimes they're not. And I think that's always so the piece becomes like many personalities and perspectives in the same, at the same time, and that is kind of interesting to find when you're not only working with like computer and just having one sound and one or two sounds at the same time and how they stack rather than necessarily matching. And I think that's kind of really pretty. And that's what I feel that we have kind of getting deeper into, and it's kind of, yeah, an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And of course, we are going to see the final outcome, the result, and it will be so exciting, I guess. But also, you know, one of the main reasons why you are spending a lot of time in this studio is to make everything, you know, fit perfectly, but still there is always a place for improv and place for spontaneous artistic decision when you are on the stage. So my question is kind of like, while performing in front of, you know, diverse audiences in various settings, do you tend to adapt your performance to align more closely with the audience's background or preferences, or is it your primary objective to invite them into your artistic world regardless of their initial expectation? Because I guess this project will find its place.
You're falling out quite a lot, so I think
we're kind of missing a lot of the keywords. Could you summarize what you just said? Because it was
okay. I was talking about the space for improvisation and space for spontaneous artistic decision while performing. So my question was, when performing in front of diverse audiences in various settings, do you tend to adapt your performance to align more closely with the audience's background, or is your primary objective to invite them into your artistic world regardless of their initial expectation? Because I bet this project will find its place on different places as well. It's not going to be a one-time performance, right?
Yeah, I think that's a question also about just making sure you're kind of booked in the right context, because, you know, if we were invited to like a club night and everything else is a DJ set, it would be quite weird. People might, you know, if people are coming looking for like a party or something, but hopefully, I think in this context, we're good to go. It's well placed. Like, this is a performance piece. It's for deep listening. It's for attention. We want an audience. It's going to work best with an audience that's willing to kind of bring some thoughtfulness, some quietness, curiosity. If it's a really chatty audience and they're just wanting to like have a little drink and then maybe there's some background music, then this is not the piece for them. But I think with playing at Intonal, playing in the black box, it's going to be a really nice setup. And then if in the future we bring it to more places, I think hopefully whoever would be inviting us would be inviting us into a place where the audience wants to hear what we have to say, and we don't really have to tune to the audience, because we are, you know, we're working in the space, the three of us just together, and we're not so much like, what do the people want? Like, I think that, I mean, I'm reiterating things I've, like a something I've heard from a million places, but there's this idea that, you know, the role of the artist is to tell people what they didn't know they wanted to hear, to tell them what they needed to hear, but they weren't finding it themselves. And I think,
and maybe sometimes they don't know that they need to hear this.
Exactly. Yeah, to kind of provide an answer, or provide a question, provide a little piece, a little jewel that somehow gives something to the audience that they will be happy to receive, though they might not have gone to look for it themselves. And I hope that wherever this shows up, we're in the kind of position where what we want to create and what the audience wants to experience is already in conversation with each other, and it doesn't have to be one kind of bending to the other against one's will, or, you know, compromising some vision or some experience that, that, you know, it's kind of a again, like a relation that is like mutually beneficial and honest.
Thanks very much. And also finally, it would be great if you can share a little bit of your upcoming project as well as a solo artist, because maybe some of our listeners wants to hear more about your solo project as well, and what can we expect from you in nearest future. A word or two will be appreciated.
All right, so this is Bridget again, if you don't know my voice. No, it's all three of us. No, what we're each doing solo, I think, coming up. I think you're asking, like, just, you know, if for people curious about the other things the three of us have
like
going
solo,
on, what each of us are up
solo,
to kind of independently in the coming months.
Absolutely.
So I'll start. I'm finishing up a new album. That's not going to, those things take a while, though. So though it is quite close to finished, you will hear that later. I'm playing a lot of solo shows in Berlin in the next months. I'm also doing another Shape collaboration in Slovenia for Sonica Festival with a harpist named Ruja and a visual artist Pixel Bambi. So that will be coming actually right before Intonal will be premiering that piece. That one's going to be lots of harps and kind of surreal fantasy lands. Then there will be some amount of touring in the US in the next months for me, and kind of the, hopefully in the summer and the fall, that should be on the table. Possibly also some duos with Oslo during that time, we'll see. But we don't know about, you know, that's in the works, but something to look forward to as it gets figured out. I'm also still touring with Ben de Kiska. I'm his sound director, and he has lots of great shows coming up, so I'll be making his saxophone sounds bassy and reverberant and beautiful in a city near you. Enjoy.
Thanks.
All right. I will. So I just premiered this piece together with the Listen Posetta choreographer in Stockholm that I worked with several pieces. And it's going to tour a little bit this fall. It's spring. Good. We're going to be in Vienna the 17th of April to share this work at Angewandte Interdisciplinary Lab, which I look very much forward to. And then I will also share a work in Montpellier in June in the CCN. It's a school and a venue in Montpellier for performing arts choreography. And I'm currently doing an MA, so I'm going to be a lot in Montpellier also. Going to share this piece, Spiritus, in Copenhagen also, and in Stockholm and so on. So yeah, I guess that's it for me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to be going back into the theater world a little bit. I'm doing music for a theater piece that is going to be premiered in November in Poland, and we're rehearsing in Germany. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And then I perform with the band here, or like a duo here in Copenhagen. It's called Pamela Angela. And that has some shows coming up. And then I'm just going to take a summer break.
Thank you. Italia dove da? आज रात का मैं आखिरी गाना गा रहा हूँ और गाने में ये कहना चाहता हूँ कि दुनिया में खुश रहना हो तो मानो मेरी बात आओ ट्वीट करें कठपुतला मौसम ले आओ ट्वीट करें जिंदगी है यही आओ ट्वीट करें कठपुतला मौसम ले आओ है यही ना जुटी है जिंदगानी की ओ मेरी जान
ना जुटी है जिंदगानी ओ मेरी जान
चम 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 हाए हाँ ट्विस्ट करे बाहुबली मौसम
Een soort van soundcheck is dit. Wat nog Hans en de andere mensen. Wat de poes hier is, je bent er twee appelmensen op dit stuk.
Enxuga esse pranto, Maria.